listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace and peace to you this day from that one God who so loves us and who loves this whole world. Amen. Consider for a moment the thoughts that keep you up at night. Consider those nights when you cannot shut your eyes. I think those thoughts give us real insight into what is important to us, into what really concerns us, or what must be confronted in the day or the days that are ahead of us. What are the insights that come to you in those wee morning hours? Those ideas, like skittish deer that creep up to the creek at dawn. It's like one sound and they're distracted and they run away, they're gone again. Do you ever keep a notepad by your bed and write down those ideas, those thoughts? I always used to get really frustrated when I would have those kinds of nights, waking up in the wee hours of the morning, trying to force myself back to sleep. I still do, lots of times, thinking about all the things for which I need my rest when the sun comes up, and yet I just can't get to sleep. You've had those nights too, I imagine. I once had a colleague I've shared before, a friend, when I was on my internship in St. Louis, and she used to talk about those nights. One time I was complaining about one of those nights, about being awake and not being able to get to sleep. It was not something that I wanted, and she said, "Oh, don't you just love those nights?" And I about dropped my coffee. "What? What are you talking about?" She said, "Oh, that's holy time. So peaceful. I thank God every time I'm awakened in the night for no external reason." She said, "That silence, that peace, that time alone with God, I just love it. I write, or sometimes I'll just sit in the darkness." She had a big family, so the house was always loud and lots of noise all the time. She said, "It is such a gift. Sometimes I just walk around the house." I always try to think of her perspective when I wake up during the night with my mind churning. Maybe you can too now. Nicodemus in our gospel text must have had one of those rough nights. I wonder if he couldn't sleep either. Something was keeping him awake. This episode, I'll remind you, follows that dramatic scene that we had last week here from chapter 2. Remember where Jesus flips the tables in the temple? Only chapter 2, Jesus is driving out the money changers in the Gospel of John. And Nicodemus, who it says in this text that Heather read, is one of the Pharisees, one of the good teachers, one of the good keepers of the Jewish law. He had seen all of this. And something about what he witnessed, or something about what he heard, maybe something Jesus said, was keeping him awake at night. Nicodemus was a lot like a good old Lutheran, by all cultural standards. Nicodemus had been in the church, we'll say in the temple, for years and years. He had family before him that had been in the church for years. He was one of those legacy members. He had roots. He could tell you stories about his father and his mother and their faithful involvements through the years with the church. Probably brought tears to his eyes. It was the Jewish equivalent, you know, to the altar guild and to the choir and to confirmation. He knew all of that. He had been through all of that. He knew all the traditional songs that were sung. He knew all the new trends. He had watched new trends in the church come and go. He had been on the councils and committees. Nicodemus understood the flow of the religious calendar, and he had long eaten the traditional dishes of his religious community, the ancient Jewish equivalents to carrot jello and cheesy pasta casserole. Or if you came from the Midwest, they would always serve lemon bars, and they said it like that, lemon bars, right? Nicodemus knew all that stuff. He really knew everything there was to know about religious life. And the more he thought about it in those wee morning hours, the more he felt like he really should be the one instructing and inspiring and impressing young Jesus, who's only in his 30s. His words and actions ought to be the ones keeping Jesus up at night, not the other way around. You know anybody like Nicodemus? Are you like Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a good salt of the earth Lutheran, or light one. And if I was preaching this in a Presbyterian pulpit, I would say Nicodemus was like a good salt of the earth Presbyterian. He was one of those charters. He was on all the boards. He was the keeper of memories and customs and the great how we've always done it. He was the guard of that. And why not? He's earned it. And that's brought him a lot of hope and a lot of family and a lot of faith over the years. There was a formula for being religious, and Nicodemus knew it by heart. But something has rocked his safe and familiar world. There was something that shook him to the core the day before that he witnessed in the temple. And he needs to just go iron it out. He probably just misheard Jesus. You just give a little knock on the door. Just a word, Rabbi. You can just see the scene. Just for a second. I thought I heard you say this, or I saw you do this, but I just want to understand. Just iron it out. Just smooth it over. Because this can't really be happening. Nicodemus just needed to clear it up. A little one-on-one time with Jesus ought to do the trick. Do you think we uber-faithful types could ever have our boats rocked, our tables flipped over by Jesus like that? Could we, who have heard before the message of salvation like 1,000 times, we who have sung the hymns of the faith for years, sampled the potlucks and the congregational meetings through the years like Nicodemus, could we have anything really to learn from one of the most popular passages in the entire Bible, John 3:16, and those verses that are surrounding it? Is there anything here for us, really? I mean, we could all say that verse, and probably the other ones, by heart. You know, on a few occasions, I have heard people say to me, regulars, salt of the earth Lutherans say to me, after a service on Sunday or maybe during the week, you know, I really wish so-and-so could have been here today to hear that message. They would have really benefited from that. I think I understand the sentiment. It usually comes from a place of love and concern for a close relative or a friend. But sometimes it is almost as if John 3:16, for example, isn't really for the good old church people anymore. Yeah, we've heard it. We know it. It's for those other people. But God so loved the world is for all of us. So beautifully sung and repeated for us. It is for all of us. And sometimes I think us stubborn ones, if you put yourself in that category with me, welcome. The stubborn ones, we need to hear over and over. Kierkegaard said that the hardest people to reach with the gospel are Christians. Either we think we already know it all, maybe like Nicodemus, or we just can't seem to trust that this goodness is for us too. These gifts of God are for us too. The gifts of God, life in the Spirit, unconditional love and grace, even and especially in the face of all our faults and wrongdoings. This is for us too. Rebirth. Rebirth. I don't need a rebirth. This is a gift from God. And this is what Jesus is discussing with Nicodemus late at night. A lot of pastors over the years have titled this sermon, Nick at Night. He's talking about life in the light. Life in the light. And what that looks like is rebirth. Rebirth is really all about baptism. It's such a great day to baptize little Landon and Sophia. That's what being born again is really all about. In fact, being born again was always a reference in the Christian church to baptism, to being made new in Christ by water and the Spirit. It was always that until the 20th century. Christians studying the Bible up to the 20th century would have immediately gone, baptism, that's what this is talking about, being born again. But something happened in the 20th century, as you're all well familiar. We were all born in this time. In the 20th century, some Christians made it into a formula, into some kind of a path, some kind of a you must do this in order to. A formula. They were reacting. They were threatened, I think, by the Enlightenment and by other philosophical movements that were happening back in Europe. And so they started talking and making threats of their own, really, about being born again as a formula to avoid the fires of hell. Well, you have to be born again. You all know what I'm talking about. I mean, if every one of us grew up in at least the remnant or the ripple effect, if not right in the center of that 20th century theological reaction, being born again. We talk about born again Christians. And you know what I'm talking about, even though I don't think it's as consistent with the Gospel of John here. We aren't born again by a decision or by a formula. Decision and formula, in fact, has nothing to do with Jesus' main thrust here in the Gospel of John. Rebirth in Christ's love is what God decides to do for us. And we mark that in baptism with the words and the water and the oil. God so loves the world. That is, God is the subject. The world is the object, the direct object. God always acts upon us. We don't act upon God. God always is the actor, and we are always the acted upon. All we can do then, all we can do in the face of this love outpouring, which is the real theme of the Gospel of John, we'll see it all the way through. All we can do is open our hands and trust. Open our hands and receive. Whosoever trusts that God so dearly loves this world, that God was made flesh and embedded into this earth, all we can do is trust that, and then life in the Spirit becomes ours, life eternal even. Trusting that God so loves the world, we then have joy. We just open our hands and receive, and I don't mean surface joy. I don't mean, yeah, that's so great. You know, that's just like a fake smile, a fake joy. I mean deep, real, lasting, abiding joy. And not just after we die. You will live joyfully and eternally starting now, having been acted upon by God's love. But this is a journey. This is a walk. Our Lenten theme this year is going to be walking in the faith, walking together like this wonderful banner, walking together. Sometimes we need one another. We need each other. We need the faith of the community. It takes some openness and some willingness to quiet ourselves to receive this good word from God. It's hard to receive a gift like a sleepless night. Sometimes church folks have the hardest time receiving gifts. We're used to giving gifts, not receiving them. We're used to offering of ourselves, our time, and our money, not receiving God's grace. But this gift of faith, friends in Christ, this visit late at night is for us too, and it comes long before we do anything, long before we make an offering. I love the honesty of Nicodemus, and I give thanks for this gospel story of him struggling with Jesus under the cover of darkness. Darkness gives us some space to be honest. In other words, thank God for the night. Thank God for the night. There's a lot of imagery that comes with night and darkness, of that's where evil things happen, that's where sin dwells, and that can be true, but the night and the cover of night is also a blessing, like my friend back in St. Louis tried to teach me. Sometimes there are things that are difficult to think or difficult to say, and we need that cover of darkness. That's even true, you know, for Heather and I. Sometimes there are things that are difficult to talk about in the light of day, but covered at night by darkness, we can have these conversations as we lay there in the dark. I give thanks for this space, this darkness, this place to be honest. Nighttime and darkness, it's not just for wickedness and deceit. The shadows give us some space to be honest before God. You could think of it as pillow talk with God. Once again, we may say in the safety and the silence of the darkness, we can say a prayer. Maybe this might be the prayer of Nicodemus. God, here I am. Here I am, a sinner. You know my thoughts and my wrongdoings, and you love me anyway. I am struggling to be honest about who I am, God. Put me back together in this safe space, in this cover of night. Put me back together to be the human being that you have made me to be. Give me courage, God. Give me wisdom. Give me the willingness to open my hands and trust in you. And then, friends in Christ, God responds to us once again this day. I so love you. I so love this whole world. Trust and know that I am your God. I will not forsake you. I will give you peace. Amen.
At Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over. Okay. Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!